Good morning. Our scripture this morning is from Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home, praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you very much, choir, for sharing this morning. Let us pray. Holy God, open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts, that we may hear and receive your word, allowing it to transform our lives. Amen. Have you ever been so desperate for something that you would do anything to get it? I remember when I was in junior high school and the Backstreet Boys were in town. And I wanted to go to that concert more than anything else. Well, some begging and pleading took place, and with a promise not to get behind on any of my schoolwork, to my surprise, my mom allowed me to skip school so I could go and camp out for tickets with my friend. Well, we were first in line, and it was so exciting when the ticket window finally opened and I could get my tickets center stage, second row, right behind my friend. It was thrilling, not just for the concert, but for the experience of camping out for the tickets as well. It's something that I will never forget. There was another group of friends who wanted something so badly. When they heard that Jesus was in town, they knew they had to go see him. You see, their friend was paralyzed. Everything this man had tried before to help him didn't work. They heard that Jesus could heal people, and if they could just get close enough, then they knew their friend would be healed, that he'd be able to walk again. So these men carried their buddy, mat and all, to go see Jesus. It seemed that the news about what Jesus could do had spread because the house where Jesus was teaching was just spilling out into the streets with people. Everyone was trying to get in. Well, in sheer desperation, their friends hoisted their buddy up onto the roof and they start digging through the tiles and the clay so they could make a man-sized hole to lower their friend. And they did, right at Jesus' feet. They knew if they just got their friend to Jesus that everything would be all right. Their faith was evident in every step that they took, every tile they removed, every muscle they used to carry their friend to Jesus. And when the friends had finally got their buddy before Jesus, they were anxious to see what was going to happen next. They were anticipating this dramatic healing of their friend. Jesus would heal him, and they'd all be able to walk together out of the house. But when the paralyzed man was before Jesus, something unexpected happened. While they had gone on this journey for their friend to experience healing, Jesus offered something else entirely. "Friend, your sins are forgiven." While the man didn't know whether to be excited or disappointed, he had gone to Jesus to be healed, to be able to walk. That's why his friends had made that man-sized hole in the roof. Clearly, Jesus could see this man was lying on a mat, unable to move. It seemed like Jesus knew why they came, could see the faith that they had that Jesus would provide them with this long-awaiting healing. So why would Jesus just tell the man his sins are forgiven? Why go through all the seemingly extra stuff when they had heard about all the other people just being healed in an instant? Well, we know that Jesus doesn't do anything by accident. Everything Jesus does is very intentional. And while the man might have been a little confused about this pronouncement that his sins are forgiven, the Pharisees in the room were outraged. They were livid. You see, they were sure that Jesus was blaspheming, that he was dishonoring God by telling this man that his sins were forgiven. After all, it was the priest who could pronounce forgiveness. Well, that is, he could pronounce forgiveness after someone had given the right sacrifice. But only God can forgive sins. And as far as the Pharisees could tell, Jesus didn't have any right to make the assertion that this man's sins are forgiven. That right belonged to God alone. And as far as they knew, Jesus wasn't God. Well, knowing that the Pharisees are struggling with this, what Jesus is doing, Jesus goes ahead and asks one of his difficult questions. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? Well, which is easier? You know, just looking at these two options, it seems like a pretty easy thing to say to someone that their sins are forgiven. You know, there's nothing that changes physically in the moment. Someone could try to argue with you and say, no, you didn't forgive their sins. But what proof can they offer? It can't be disproven or verified. It's an invisible reality that happens between that person and God. That makes saying someone's sins are forgiven a very easy thing to say. Anyone can say it, but it doesn't make it true. Yet there's no way to say that it's untrue. So saying to someone who's paralyzed for an unknown reason, for an unknown length of time, whose muscles have probably atrophied and who could have been injured so badly that maybe muscles and ligaments and tendons were disconnected, it would be extremely difficult to say to that person, well, get up and walk. Because in an instant, everyone in the room would be able to tell if you were the healer that you said you were. If the man was healed, everyone could see that Jesus was powerful. If the man was not healed, then everyone would think that Jesus was nobody special, that Jesus wasn't this great healer that everyone claimed him to be. But Jesus didn't want the crowd just to think that he was someone powerful. Jesus didn't want the people to think that he was just some amazing healer. By saying to the man that his sins are forgiven, Jesus is telling the people that he is God. In order to prove the point to everyone in the crowd that day, Jesus shows his authority to forgive sins by healing the man. It's with his divine authority that Jesus can both forgive sins and heal people. And because of his divine authority, he can tell the man that his sins are forgiven, that he can tell him, get up, take your mat, and go home. Through healing, that objective, verifiable demonstration of God's power, Jesus shows that his power to forgive sins also comes from God. And that power is part of his identity as Son of Man. When the group of friends sees that, when the group of friends that set out to see Jesus that day, I doubt they got what they expected. While they expected healing, they may not have expected to see the power of God at work. They not expected to meet God in the flesh, but that's what they found. When their friends stood up from that mat, there was no doubt in their mind. Because when they left that house, they left praising God for what God has done. What happened to that paralyzed man is a miracle. But not just because he went home, but that he stood forgiven. Until this point, forgiveness was something that could only be given after an atoning sacrifice had been made and the priest had declared it. And you would have to keep going back to the temple time and time again to continue offering sacrifices to keep receiving forgiveness. You know, Romans 3:23 reminds us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one is without sin. But what happened that day with the paralyzed man reminds us that God made a way for us, a way for those who have sinned to experience forgiveness. Jesus would go to the cross and die for all. Romans 5:8 says, God showed his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus' death on the cross took the punishment for our sins. We can now receive God's forgiveness. But the good news didn't end there. There's healing. Remember what Jesus told the man before he went home? He said, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And immediately he stood up. The man stood up. These words, stood up, could also be translated as rise up, which is what we get the word resurrection from. And resurrection literally means to stand up or rise up. We can celebrate. We can rejoice that Jesus rose 3 days after he died on the cross. We can celebrate that when we believe in Jesus, we not only experience forgiveness for our sins, but we experience new life. We can rise up. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:14 reminds us, and God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Romans 6:4 says, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. 1 Peter 1:3 reminds us, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have new life. We have renewed hope. We have experienced forgiveness of our sins. We can rise up. Experience the joy of resurrection because Jesus lives. We have life in Christ. Now, Ephesians 2 reminds us of that truth. Now, starting at verse 1, it says, As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Friends, we have been saved by God's grace. This is the best news that we could possibly hear. And this is not just something we should keep for ourselves. This is something that needs to be shared with others. Are there people in your life right now that need to hear that Jesus has forgiven them? Are there people in your life right now who feel trapped by what they've done? When we share the good news with them, we offer them hope that is only found in Jesus. When we share this good news, we become like those friends who carried their paralyzed friend to Jesus' feet so that they can experience the healing that only Jesus can offer. Who is God calling you to bring before Jesus' feet today? If you're not sure, I challenge you to ask God to reveal that person to you, that you can share the good news of Christ with those around you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, our Savior, we offer our love to you because you have offered your love, your forgiveness, and your healing so freely to us. Through you, we have received the best gift we could possibly hope to receive, new life that we have in you. Help us to live in the joy of this gift by telling those around us who need to hear this good news. Give us courage to share your love and forgiveness with those around us. Help us to carry those who we love and bring them to your feet, Jesus. We ask this in your holy and precious name. Amen.